Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as the instruments of righteousness unto God. This is the word of the Lord, and he will most certainly add his abundant and gracious blessing to the reading of his holy truth. And let us pray. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you and thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us. We ask you, Lord, that you will have your way with us as we have read your word, that your Spirit will minister unto us through your word, and that we might find application in our lives concerning the truth that we will look at as we continue our series in the Catechism. We thank you, Lord, for our Lord Jesus Christ, for his blood, for his atoning grace. And we ask you, Father, that we might rejoice in his gift, in your gift, Father, and pray that you will be exalted in our lives. I ask you, Father, that you'll be with me and strengthen me, as I've been very weak today and even feel a touch of weakness now. But ask that in my weakness that you would be strong and that you would be mighty to save, and that we may draw nearer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So question 31 of the Catechism says many things. It asks the question, what benefits do they who are effectually called partake of in this life? And the answer to that is fourfold: that they who are effectually called in this life partake of justification, 1, adoption, 2, sanctification, 3, as well as the various benefits that either accompany or flow from them in this life, 4. And that's just simply put. There are many, many more things and greater dimension to that in that. And so as we covered each one of these, justification and adoption, we are at sanctification, because question 34 of the Catechism asks, what is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's Spirit in which we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die to sin and live the righteousness. Now, sanctification differs from justification and adoption in that justification and adoption are acts of God by God's free grace without any participation or assistance from us whatsoever. They are declarative acts. God has declared it, and they are decretal, called decretal acts. They're providential acts. These are all those things that God is working together to bring unto him a people, unto himself through individual salvation. Justification and adoption only make a relative change in us, changing us from what we were into what we are now, because we still as Romans 7:14 says, we are mortal, sold under sin. We still have the same character that we had, that we grew up with when we were saved. And we have all the corruptions of flesh. The sniffles that I hear out in the congregation are evidence of that. My own, even. And the infirmities of our flesh. We still have those things. So that change is seemingly slight in one sense. It's huge in the eternal sense. We're completely God's now. Justification and adoption. We're His children. But the relative change that we don't see what we once were to that point where I'm saved, there doesn't seem to be a lot of difference from that moment to the next moment. Every one of us can testify to that in our own salvation. The moment that we were unsaved to the moment that we were saved, there didn't appear to be a great change. But sanctification, on the other hand, makes a real change in us. Justification and adoption are God's, as they are God's declarative work at the initial point of salvation. Sanctification is an ongoing process that continues unto perfection and glorification at the return of the Lord, or perfection and glorification through the resurrection by the Lord. In other words, that will continue in either until you die, or if you should be alive and remain when the Lord returns to that point. Otherwise, if you are saved by God's grace, sanctification continues. Though we participate in the process of sanctification through our submission to God, as we actually read in Romans 6, there is an idea of yielding to God and submitting to Him. Though we participate in that process by walking after the Spirit according to His Word, sanctification is the work actually of God alone. We do submit to Him and we participate in the process, but it is God's work to sanctify us, to cleanse us. There is nothing in us that we can do to cleanse ourselves. We can defile ourselves. And that's why we need the sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ and His forgiveness that comes with it. We can defile ourselves, but we cannot cleanse ourselves. Apart from the grace of God, though saved, we can do nothing. It must be the work of God within us and in our submission by the power of God to bring us that sanctification. God receives all the glory then, even for that which He is perfecting in us, the workmanship of His hand, that we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus unto good works, as it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Through sanctification of the Spirit, meaning that it is the Spirit's work. It is God's work. And that your salvation, apart from sanctification, is no salvation at all. It must contain that blessed truth. There must be sanctification going on. And though sometimes it doesn't seem that way, often we seem like we're taking one step forward and two steps back. But the reality is that there are things, even in that one step or two steps backwards, that God is doing by His providence to develop in us character, to conform us to the image of Christ, to glorify Himself in the work that He is doing in you and I. What can we expect to see in the sanctified life? What does it consist of? What is God doing when He is sanctifying us through His Spirit? In sanctification, God is turning us into a new man, into a new woman, into new people, new creatures, new creations. Yes, we are a new creation, as it says initially at salvation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. But that become is a continual becoming, because there is a changing that's going on. And he who resists a change from the Almighty is one who is obstinate and needs ever more the power of God to break such a one, to come in godly sorrow with repentance and tears to say, Lord, I have resisted you. I have been obstinate. Colossians 3 and verse 10. In that sanctifying work, God, in turning us into a new man, He is bringing about a restoration to us as He created man in the beginning in knowledge and in righteousness and in true holiness. Colossians 3:10 and Ephesians 2:4 speak of that work which God is doing. In Colossians 3:10, it begins in verse 9 that says, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and then goes into the scripture proof of Colossians 3:10 that says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. God is making us like Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now there are two applications, and that's where we read our text in Romans 6. There are two applications in our submission to God for sanctification to take place in our lives. One is mortification. The other is vivification. Young people, if you don't know what vivification is, it comes from a Latin word, vive, which means to live. So one is mortification, I think is also a Latin word, means to kill, to put to death, mortify. And vivification, which means to live. In mortification, we read in Romans 6 and verse 11, I'll read it from the text that we opened up, it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That God has declared it in His Word. We need to take that truth and by faith live according to it. Submit ourselves to that truth. And by the power of the Spirit, God is sanctifying us to make that truth a reality. Does it mean that we sit lifelessly by? No, it tells us to likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. We consider those things to be a part of the past life, and then therefore they are dead. We should not drag them around. Sin is something that does not edify. And because it does not edify, it does not build us up, it does not draw us nearer to Christ, it does not glorify. It does not glorify God. So we mortify, we kill those things. Though we are crucified with Christ, and that happened at salvation, there's a continuing thing through the illumination of the Holy Spirit that presents more sin, more areas of our life that need to come more under the submission of our sovereign God. He allows for that opportunity for our responsibility to be made accountable to Him. A blessedness that Adam did not take part in because he was disobedient to God's command. So we can take God's command now and rejoice in it by the power of the Spirit to be submissive unto Him. And which rolls right into vivification, to be made alive. In verse 13 it says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The vivification, moreover, is really as in a resurrection. Though it's the Romans 6 does say that we are in that likeness of resurrection at the early part. But recognizing what God has done to raise us from the dead, so to speak, that's what makes us alive. In verse 13, it presents this yielding of our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin to be put away, so that the second part of that, yielding ourselves unto God. Why? Because we are now alive from the dead. He has done a miracle in our lives. Because now my life is alive. Whereas once, as Ephesians 2 says, that I was dead in trespasses and sins. When I'm awakened to that, there is rejoicing going on. And so the surrender, the life that is presented in sanctification, is an acknowledgement of the truth that God has done And I surrender more and more as that truth becomes more real and alive in me. I become more real and alive to the truth so that I can more and more kill sin that is in me and identify that which is sin, which is death, and put it away. That's sanctification in a nutshell. There's more to it than that, but I don't want to go too far for many reasons. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for strengthening us through your word. And we pray, Father, that the power of your word and these truths will be real to us. May we be sanctified by your spirit, and may we submit unto your spirit, Lord, to see revival within our lives, to seek after Jesus Christ, and let nothing turn us to the left or to the right for that truth. We love you, Lord, and thank you for our time together, and pray that as we go into our prayer time as a congregation, that you'll be glorified in it. And also for our meeting tonight, we pray that you be glorified in that as well, in Jesus' name. Amen.